In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right. So let's get into this here this morning. I'm still getting used to that this morning. But I'm loving it, though. So we're going to get into this. I want to go to Genesis 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. And we're going to dive right into this. So, Father, I just thank you for the blessing of the word. Let it minister tonight. All right, again, this morning, in Jesus' name. All right, I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. As always, you know, I always love for you to take notes. I want you to put this down. Living in the middle of blessing and battle. Living in the middle of blessing and battle. The Holy Spirit gave this word to me, and I want to release this here. Living in the middle of blessing and battle. Genesis 3, we're going to start in verse 1. So Pastor Candace, thank God we got Pastor Candace live with us this morning. Chantel was begging to read, guys, this week. See what all of you at home don't realize, and I'm sure the mics are picking them up right now, which is good. But she said she'd read last week because she's obedient to the authority on the man of God's life. No, but she said I can only read from Galatians. I had to limit my sermons, Jenna. So anyway, we got Candace. So I got the whole Bible today to read from. So we're gonna go to Habakkuk. No, let's go to Genesis. We're gonna start the book of Origins, Genesis 3, and we're gonna go to verse 1. Now, really grab this. This is major because it's setting us up to where we need to go.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?"
Okay, right there. Did God say? Everybody say, did God say?
Did God say?
Or did God really say? Did God really say? This is major right here, because when we're talking about our call, our promise, our destiny, so to speak, the way our life works with God as it pertains to his will, one of the things that we will question the most is, did God really say? Every single attack of the enemy starts with that question. It will always start in your mind, did God really tell me this? Am I missing it? What's really going on here? Did God really say? He may not say it in those words, but he'll get you to question what God told you. And everything that the enemy planned, and you need to know, it's not just God that has a plan for your life. The enemy has a plan for your life. And he starts his working with, did God say? If he can get you to question what God told you, then he's got you where he wants you. Did God say? Another fact about this conversation is the enemy was speaking, but through the design of a serpent. The serpent is always lower than anything he's speaking to. And so you have to understand, you got to be careful when you listen to voices that are lower than you. They don't understand the dimension that you're living in. And it is very, very important to understand that. Be mindful of the tactics, the tools of the enemy. The enemy never comes up and says, "Hey, man, I'm the devil. I want to distract you. I want to delay you. I want to torment you." None of these things. That's the goal, but he never advertises that. What he does is he starts with your confidence. He starts with your faith. Did God really tell you this? You know, you can kind of fall into wishful thinking. You know, you kind of just talk yourself into stuff. You sure God really said that? See, the enemy doesn't need you to quit to win. He just needs to delay you when God told you to be obedient. And that is so important that you don't just live in delay, but you are obedient in all things. You got to stay obedient in all things. Did God really say? Let's look at this real quick. I want to go to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to go to 21. And I put this down if you're taking notes, that because this is setting this whole thing up here. Because, again, we're talking about living between the blessing and the battle. What I want to suggest to you today is that the will of God has absolute both postures in it, blessing and battle. If you think the will of God is strictly blessing, you're not in the will of God. Battle and blessing are married. They live in the same place. They exist in the same place. And so while you're saying, man, what is going on in my world right now? Everything is going crazy. I'm telling you, it could be the will of God operating in your life. And so this is really, really important. So let's go to Luke 3, 21 through 22. Let's read this. Everybody knows the story, but I want to bring out some points.
Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved son. Ooh. In you I am well pleased.
Now, something I want to bring out. This is the point that you absolutely need to remember about this. What did the Father say? What did the voice say to the Son? What did he say? He said, what?
You are my beloved son.
You are my beloved son. You've always, and I've always been taught, that a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son. He didn't. He said, you, which means the only person that heard the voice was him. He was speaking to him. He wasn't speaking to the crowds. He was speaking to Jesus. The approval of his sonship was coming directly in his own relationship with the Father. And this is very, very important. Because if you got to understand why that matters so much, because it's one thing for God to approve you in front of a crowd and everybody's reminded of what God said. It's another thing when you are the only person that heard it. Can you follow God still? Are you confident enough in the relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit to go against the crowd? The masses will always say one thing. You. That's really, really important to understand that. God, the Bible says, and I want to read it one more time, Pastor Candace. Let's read that just one more time.
Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved son.
You are my beloved son. He's speaking directly to Jesus. You are my beloved son. Why is this important? Because what did I tell you? Where is the point of access that the enemy always tries us at? Did God say? God told him, you are my beloved son. Now, real quick, next chapter, go to Luke 4 here. Watch this. This is the same scenario. You got to remember, again, in the Greek, there is no chapters in the original text. And so when you see Luke 3 and Luke 4, please don't mistake them as being a different day. Because that's not what happened. This is the same season, y'all. The exact same season. The blessing was, you are my son. Right? I'm pleased in you. You're my son. I'm pleased in you. The next moment, watch what happens. Here he is in Luke 4, 1 through 3.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness.
You see that? He returning from the Jordan. It's the same season. Now watch this.
For 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.
What did he start with? What did God say? Do you see this? He's questioning what Jesus heard from his Father. What did God say? If you're the Son. Why would he say, if you're the Son? Why would he say that? Because God said, you're my son. Well, if you're the son, then do this. The enemy is questioning what the Holy Spirit already revealed to him in that moment. In the same season, the man went from hearing the voice of God, knowing who he was by the Spirit, and in the same season, he turns around and he's tempted at that very moment with the same thing that God told him. What was a blessing also turned into a battle. I need you to see this. Because it's still the will of God happening here. Because the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. And so we have to quit thinking that because we're battling, that that's not the will of God. I got to do something different in my life because everything's going crazy. Maybe God is setting order. You're calling it chaos. God is trying to decipher it. He's trying to set order there so that we can see his will and his intentions more clearly. So when things are looking crazy, it's because you and I have got comfortable in a season that we are out of order. And God says, no, 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 you're asking me, you're singing songs about you're going to give me your heart and surrender all and all this. I'm just taking you at your word. If you're saying I'm surrendering, I'm going to start with the things that need to be changed. I mean, how dare we sing songs that we actually mean? You know? Well, that's what I'm saying to sarcastically. He's like, listen, y'all, if you're going to sing the song, walk the walk. If you're going to sing the song, walk the walk. If our worship services, if God only received what we is willing to walk out, we wouldn't have worship services. And so this is major. One hand, you're my son. The next thing the enemy says, if you're the son, then he offers him food. Jesus just got done fasting, which means it's time to eat. What's amazing about this is that he tells the enemy no.
Right.
He combats it with the word. He had the right to eat and still didn't do it. I heard Tony Fitzgerald years ago. You guys, I don't even know if y'all remember him. He came to when we was on Joy Road. He said, and this will stick with me for the rest of my life. He said, I learned as I grew in Christ that Jesus wasn't just after my wrongs. He was after my rights. I had a right to eat, Jesus said. Right? But he didn't. When we can surrender what we have the right to do, now we're growing. Somebody does you wrong, you got the right in your flesh to respond. Come on. If you guys heard that little scream, that was Jess. The Holy Spirit poked her. when somebody doesn't show you and they don't walk out what love looks like, you have the right to respond, or you have the right to allow the Holy Spirit to respond through you. You have to allow your rights to be in the right place. Can you give them your rights? You're in the right to act this way. Because that's what happens when people do bad things. We respond in the flesh. You have a right to do it, but will you give them your rights? I love the fact that Jesus, done with his fast, still wasn't willing to eat simply because of who was serving the food. It's important. This is important. Amen? Jesus endured the water and the wilderness at the same season. This is the meat, that they are the same season. They are the same season. I want you to write this down. I put this down if you're taking notes again. Intense battles produce immense victories. When you are in a battle that is intense, right? And man, I gotta tell you, this week has been an intense battle. But I woke up yesterday feeling a different type of peace. Now, I still had the residue of a battle, but I also had the residue of hope and future. Because, see, when we surrender, truly surrender to the heart of God. Jess said something we ate yesterday. I'm glad you're here, Jess. And you, Jenna. Glad both your shirts are here. For those of you online, they wore the same. They got a clothing line now. And listen, if you want it immediately, they will rush gin it over to you. They'll put it on a rushed-in order. But she said, we did lunch yesterday, and she bought my lunch. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God is working right now. Man, my God. My God. So listen, and so we went out, she said something, I can't remember the exact verbiage that she used, but it was in the sense that you kind of gotta let it go. That's how I interpreted it anyway, you know, like the Frozen. When you said it, I heard, let it go, let it go. One thing I know about surrender, it's not surrender if you're still hoping your agenda survives. It's not surrender if we're still hoping our agenda survives. Surrender means, God, you have permission to paint on a blank canvas. That's what that means. The only thing you're required to do is be obedient. The surroundings are up to him. The walk is up to you. I know I'm obedient right now. I know I heard God. I had my moment. I heard the Lord. I put it before counsel. I know what God said. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't know who's with me, who isn't with me. I kind of know. But even in that, you got to let it go. I just have to be obedient. When you're really in a battle, you don't have the space to really control anybody else's journey. When you're, it takes every bit of your own surrender to get through it. I love you, but I cannot govern your responses. I can't govern it. I got to put some reverb on that real quick. Just a heavy reverb. I cannot govern your responses. Put a little echo on that. Just, I want to sound like the Wizard of Oz. What you say, baby? The great and powerful says, he said, I cannot govern your responses. I can only focus on my, right here, you ready? Surrender. I got some chemistry going on with my sound man here. So listen, I want to show you something. Everybody say, intense battles produce immense victories. So everyone say, God's will has conflict. Thus, God's will has conflict. It is what you're born for, by the way. It's what you're born for, by the way. I'm telling you right now, it's what we're born for. We are supposed to be, if you think about a battle in the old days, we are not supposed to be on the back line. We're designed for the front line. We are designed for conflict. Everything in us. Conflict is what God has created us for, because we're peacemakers. We're walking in victory. We got all the tools to change it for the good. And so we are designed for it. I want to show you right here why blessings and battle live in the same place. They live in the same place. Look at here, Ephesians 1. We're going to go to verse 3. Watch this. Watch what Paul says here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Where are
Christ.
The spiritual blessings at? Heaven. Come on, y'all. Where are they at? Heavenly places, right? Yeah. Right? Now, Ephesians 6, verse 12. Watch this, y'all. Everything that God is trying to do in your life is found in the heavenly places. Don't think of heaven, though. I'm not talking about some place in the sky. Heavenly places is where thoughts and our spirit man exist in the realm of God. All right? So watch this. Ephesians 6 now, verse 12. Watch what, same guy, same book.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Where, though? Our struggle is not what? It's not against flesh and blood. Read it real quick. Remember heavenly places, guys. Paul just said that we was blessed in heavenly places. Now look at what he says here, though.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places.
In heavenly places. Your battle and your blessing exist in the same place. That killed me. That killed me. All of the things I need from God is in the heavenly places, but also every war I'm designed to win is in the heavenly places. It's all heavenly activity. This is not the devil. You, when you are in a realm of God, you are blessing and battle. You're ready for the blessings and the battle. They're both existing in the heavenly places. Many people don't put that together. That what God has for you, it feels good to be there, right, in that realm. Where it's like, oh my God, this thing is just unfolding just the way God showed me, right? But then also, you need to know that you're not absent of that realm when all hell's breaking loose. It's there that God is sharpening you. You're still in the heavenly places. It's just your assignment there is changed. And you're going to go through seasons to where it's going to feel like, man, am I really in God's will? Never, ever question if you're in God's will simply because of pressure. Never. Don't question, am I where God sold me to be? Because things just don't feel good right now. No, 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 no. That is probably more proof that you're there where God wants you to be because it's growing. Your flesh is being checked. You're starting to realize there's some things that need to die in order for you to get to the full potential that God wants for your life. That is a beautiful thing. There's nobody, you know, I think this Americanized gospel is what messed us up, y'all. We are wanting our best life now. And what that means, code, is that we don't have any troubles. That we got enough money for everything that we desire, everything that we want. We got enough friends for every lonely season. We got everything where we need to be. And the truth is, the will of God is a faith walk. God, we look at Paul raising the dead, rebuking demons. This man was changing the world. Paul was changing the world. And then all of a sudden, God calls him to Rome. He gets on a boat to try to get over to Rome, and the boat shipwrecks. It's like, God, did you call me here? Why would the boat not get there? Because in the middle of the journey, you still got to trust God. It's not just about where God's sending you. Your journey is also an arrival. Yeah. What you're becoming in the middle of becoming matters. Yeah. It's like, God, man, you told me to go here. I was obedient. Why would you put me on a boat that wasn't designed to make the journey? Because there's something in the failure of the boat that's going to equip him for the next part when he arrives. You need to understand you're traveling in God's will. And whatever he needs to do to mature you, he'll do it. He'll do it. Paul was burdened. Did you shut the furnace off, babe? Paul was burdened with getting to Rome. Because he knew that Rome was the superpower of the earth at that point. He just wanted to stand before Caesar, and he wanted to tell his testimony of what happened to him on Damascus Road. And every step that he got closer to that fulfillment, there was always turmoil. The man never had it easy. I think the American dream is what's killing us. And the truth is that we have to get to a place to where we recognize that we are not just living for just blessings, but we are also living for battle. Yeah. I love Proverbs 17, where 19, I believe it is, where I taught this at our Thursday night insight service, that a brother is born for a time of adversity. A true brother, a real friend is born for a time of adversity. You will know who really loves you in seasons of adversity. They'll show themselves. Just similar to that, in the body, we are designed for battle. And I know that as a pastor, one thing that I know from the Holy Spirit is that what God has designed Vertical Encounter to do, what our church is meant to be, is really a not just a church where people come to experience presence in worship. It's deeper than that. It's meant where it's so radical that atheistic hearts will soften to the voice of God. I believe that what God has put on our house is a love that is so... It's like a weapon in the hand of the Father that will grab the hardest of hearts and give them an experience with God. I was just, matter of fact, I was talking with Tank a couple days ago, and he sent me a voicemail. Tank, if you're watching, I appreciate that. It sent me an audio, and one of the things that he said is, he said, man, I just want to say to you, and I can't remember all the words, but basically said, man, when I came, he said, you was the influence on my life that, he said, man, I was agnostic. I did not believe. And, you know, pretty much none of this stuff made sense, he said, but when I encountered God there, he said, there was something about the love and the grace that was on your life that I couldn't deny it. He said, and from there, it cultivated a relationship with God in my life. And he was appreciative. And that's a testimony that's not for me. That's about the love of God. That's what our house resembles. Yeah. That's what we're called to, is for people to come in. And I would rather have a church. I would rather have a church. I've said this often in the house, but I don't care about us being many as much as I care about us being heavy. I want to be weighty, not just many, in the sense that we carry substance, and that when people encounter VC, that they are encountering God. And I believe that right now we are in a season of shifting. If you go back the last 2 weeks, especially last week where I talked about the trimming season, that this is a season of trimming, all of this is going together. It's a trimming to where we're going to be bearing much fruit. And God is cutting off dead branches in our life. God is cutting off lifeless things that we're hanging on to, weight that is unnecessary. It's a trimming season. And I just want to encourage you guys right now to rest in what God has spoken to you. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and he says this, I want you to learn to rest in that. Don't question what God told you in the light when you're in a season that looks dark. Stay the course. Stay the course. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. God's not just speaking something to you to encourage you. God is speaking realities to you. God is shaping your reality. He is your future. He's not just saying to you, hey, I see a thing you're going to become. He's speaking to you from what you have become. He exists in every timeline, in every moment. And it's very important to remember what God told you. Don't question it because of conflict. Don't question it because you feel like you're battling. Don't question it. Stand firm in what God is saying. Don't try to control the circumstances around you. Learn that surrender means what you do in your walk in relation to what the Holy Spirit told you. And I want to thank you, Jess. Yesterday really ministered to me. Thank you for that private rebuke. I knew when you bought my lunch it was coming. I appreciate it. But we listen, guys, I just want to encourage you on that, you know, to remember that the fight and the blessings live in the same place. They live in its heavenly places, regardless of how it feels. Amen.